It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It is the season, Bill. I'm excited. The joyful time of year where you spend way too much money and you stress out about people that you don't know if you should buy things for or how much you should spend on them. You spend too much money, you regret it, and then the new year comes and you're fat. But anyways, Bill, if you had to pick a Christmas movie universe to live in, which would it be and why?
Honestly, it's probably the movie we're reviewing, and I'd want to live in the McAllister house because they're loaded.
I see where you're going, and I cannot necessarily disagree, but there's also just we'll get into this. There's a boatload of kids there. Like a boatload. Like legitimately. Like Noah's Ark.
Do we know actually how many children they have? It's at least four.
We're going to get into that. I think plays a major factor in this movie. So I do understand Home Alone. Also, you have to realize in this universe, you have a lot of sketchy A people. So just keep that in mind. But yes, wealthy trips to Paris and or New York every Christmas. Cool, I guess, if you want to travel on Christmas, which I think.
Although they didn't get a tree yet because he had to cut down his own tree.
There's a
even if
weird.
You're going away for Christmas, they were leaving like 2 days or 3 days before. I would have a tree by then.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, they talk about having their lights on a timer. There's a lot of stuff there, but I understand Nightmare Before Christmas for me. Cliche, stupid. I was trying to find like a sexy Christmas one. Like, I really couldn't think of one. Like, off the top of my head, I said, oh, well, like Mean Girls, but that's just one scene. That's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to find out, like, you know, there's a lot of movies that have some serious babes in it. Don't get me wrong. There's a new movie out there called Love Hard. She's a little fox cat, but that movie's a little strange. I don't know if I want somebody on a whim to fly across country because they meet somebody on the internet, even though I'm sure you're not below it. So I had a tough time. I think I got to go like Miracle on 34th Street. Now, it's just because it's joyful. Bill, it's wholesome. It's wholesome. There was no Twitter. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. There was no podcast. It was just wholesome living, Bill. Just wholesome living.
You know what? On that fact, maybe I'll change my answer to the Grinch because, you know, the Who's Down in Whoville seem to, you know what life's about.
Are you trying to say you make sexual advances to the Who's?
No, I'm just saying that they're fine without Christmas. You know, they don't have their pop gobblers and tanklers, and they're fine.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can follow me across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. And with, hold on. You can follow this program right here at Pop Culture PD, only on the Twitty. And if you do, we'll instantly make you jolly. If you want to be jolly, smash that follow button on Twitter, Pop Culture PD. We're also 3 away from 100 subscribers on YouTube, so give a little plug there. If you're watching us on YouTube, stumbled upon us because of the algorithm of weird reviews, appreciate you. Anything you can do, subscribe to us on iTunes. We appreciate the love. But yeah, a couple away from 100. That's you know, look for the landmarks, Bill. Look for the landmarks. With me, as always, is that guy, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be found on Twitter right now, at least, at BillyYee2411, because he's getting booted off of there like every other day. He's the bad boy of Twitter. He can be followed across all other social media platforms at BillyD2411. And for just the low, low price of 11 cents for the 12 days of Christmas, it doesn't make any sense. You can subscribe to his OnlyFans. He dips his toes in mayonnaise and other things in spicy mustard. What are those other things? Subscribe. Check out at use the code Billy's Big D over on the OnlyFans. It's BillyD2411. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
He had some strong ones recently, but that was not one of them. Hello. I feel like I'm still not in the Christmas spirit, and we're rapidly approaching, like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, 2.5, Bill. Get into it, my friend. Get into it. 17 days is time of recording. It is early on a December 8th. We're bright and early here with you. If you are joining us live, appreciate you. You can join us live over on YouTube. You can watch all the old videos of this podcast on YouTube. Just search Pop Culture Pile Driver. We do it live on Twitter at Pop Culture PD, as mentioned. We're also on the Dork Shared Gooniverse Facebook page. So if you're a fan of Dork, Mac and Goo, or for some reason the Change My Mind podcast, you can find us there as well. All the podcasts are live over there. Well, most of them are. And but yeah, appreciate any of you guys checking us out. But yeah, like we said, bright and early, Bill, we are reviewing today a movie that I think is, this sounds strange, but I think it's one of the more important movies of a generation.
One of the movies that made us.
It absolutely is. And that was one of probably, I think that's still the best episode of that show. We're going to be reviewing the movie Home Alone, Bill. Home Alone. We'll get into all the nooks and crannies of it. But I actually want to start this by asking, did you see that you could actually, it started yesterday on December 7th. For $25, you could actually get like an Airbnb at the original McAllister house.
$25?
$25.
You can get like a room?
So there's the weird part. So the information is, it's like an Airbnb. It's basically, you can request to book the Home Alone house on Airbnb. This was yesterday. It's $25 plus tax. And they say, so you can keep the change, you filthy animal. Love that. It's basically like they're giving back because for some, it's like some sort of charitable tie-in.
There's no way it's $25.
It's $25. And Kevin's older brother, Buzz, will be your host for the evening.
What?
And he won't. Yep. But he won't be accompanied by his girlfriend and his pet tarantula with him.
Dude,
so
book it right now. That house is amazing. I love Chicago.
Yeah, it's like you get put into a draft. It's like you have to, I don't know if you
That's different. It's like a raffle ticket to do it.
Yeah. Airbnb says it's closely monitoring Chicago's, and oh, this is about COVID. I don't want to talk about that. We're gonna get one of those things on YouTube at the bottom about it. So I don't want to say too much more. But basically, yeah, it's $25. It started yesterday at one. The book a one night only stay. It's not a contest, and guests are responsible for their own travel to Chicago and the house just to make sure you don't accidentally count Mitch Murphy in the airport shuttle. I like that. But yeah, you can check out Airbnb. Let me just check out this listing while we have it.
Send me the link. I'll fucking do that right now. Chicago's like my favorite big city on earth.
Let's see here. What do we got? Enter residential house by Buzz. 4 guests, 2 bedrooms, 1.5 bath. Wait, that's
it? That house is amazing.
Stay is now booked and no longer available.
Yeah.
They'll do it again. Yeah, but you have to like book the dates and time. It's very interesting. They show the whole calendar. Interesting stuff. But yeah, so you could actually stay there. So whoever does, you're going to see probably a lot of viral videos from that. All right, Bill. So like we said, 1990 is the year. Home Alone is the movie we're reviewing. We're getting into holiday spirit. By the time this is over, just like the Grinch, we see hope to see your heart grow 2 times as much. The IMDb info. I always love these one-liners that they put out for Home Alone. It says an 8-year-old troublemaker must protect his house from a pair of burglars when he is accidentally left home alone by his family during Christmas vacation. This movie stars. That one hits it right to the point. Macaulay Culkin is the star of this film. Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern, John Hurd, that is the father of Kevin. Robert Blossom, what a name, by the way. That's Old Man Marley. Catherine O'Hare, who has come back into fame again. Also, did not know she played one of the characters in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. She's a huge Christmas lady.
Yeah, didn't know. Devin Ratte, I think that's how you say his last name. That is Buzz. You have Gary Bayman. He is Uncle Frank. John Candy, who's just amazing. Larry Hankin as the police officer. And Carrion Culkin, he's the only one I'm going to grab there, as Fuller, Kevin's youngest cousin. Bill, this movie was released on November 16th, 1990. Now it's time to get into our little game here, Bill. We're going to take a little jump back in the time machine. Bill, what was the price of gas on November 16th, 1990, median price in the United States?
I'm going to say 107.
Close, 134.
All right.
134. What was the number one song in America?
In 1990. Yep. Did we do the jukebox?
We did. But I can tell you right now, we did not nominate this. We spoke about, I'll give you a hint, it's a female artist.
Oh, it's not multiple female artists?
Nope, it's a single female artist.
Single female artist. Whitney Houston?
Good guess, but no.
Yeah, Janet Jackson?
Nope, one more guess.
90s, early 90s, basically the 80s. I have no clue.
It's Love Takes Time by Mariah Carey.
Ah, that was, I'm an idiot. Should have banged it.
Yeah. It's all right. What was the number one movie at the time of release?
1999. I have no clue. I'm terrible at this.
Child Play 2.
Really? Ugh, gross.
The number one movie. Oh, I love that film. That is one of the most epic endings. I just love the whole Toy Factory. It's a great one. Who was your WWF champion?
Hulk Hogan?
Nope.
1990. Who the hell would it be if it wasn't Hogan?
Think about who defeated Hogan.
Ultimate Warrior?
Ultimate Warrior was running through the competition in 1990. And then who would have been, technically, this would have been the NWA champion because WCW was not a thing just yet.
Ric Flair?
Nope. One other guess, you'll probably get it right.
Sting.
Sting! So basically, there you go. Second guesses. Get it every time. The rating of this film on IMDb is a 7.6 out of 10.
Should be higher. It's a perfect movie.
I agree. Rotten Tomato has it a 66% critic. What's your, I don't know if you saw it, but what's your guess on user?
90.
80.
All right.
Again, feel like.
Who doesn't like this movie? Isn't it a thumbs up, thumbs down too?
I think so. I don't really, I've never scored it. Metacritic has it as a 63 out of 100. Google, this is the one that's a thumbs up, thumbs down. 93% of people enjoy the movie of Home Alone. Now, here we go with some reviews from the time. They'll strap on this. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times gave it a 2.5 star out of 4 rating and 2 thumbs down. What? Let me repeat myself. 2.5 out of 4. So that's like a, for us, that's like a what? Like an 8 out of 11. And he says he gives it 2 thumbs down. What? That, okay. It says he
can. No, 2 out of 4 is like 55%, right?
Yeah, but then 2.5 out of 4.
All right. So. I'm somewhere not
like the 70s range, right? Yeah. It could be close. Anyways, he says he compared the elaborate booby traps in the film to Rube Goldberg's machines. I'm sorry, I'm not that old. Writing their kind of traps that any 8-year-old devise if he had a huge budget of tens of thousands of dollars and the assistance of a crew of movie special effects people. Well, thanks, Robert. Way to kill
Kate. It's a movie.
And criticizes the plot so implausible that it makes it hard for him to really care about the plight of the kid. However, he praises Culkin's performance. Something that goes wrong. The other one we have is Evan Gilberman, I think that is, of Entertainment Weekly, says he gave the film a D, criticizing the film for sadistic levels, sadistic festival of adult bashing. Gilman says that John Hughes is pulling out our strings as he thought he never learned any, as if he never learned anything else.
I mean, I don't get any of these reviews. I don't get these people at all. Like it's, you know, a kid's movie. I will say that, you know, my niece and nephew almost killed my sister one time by putting like slick stuff outside of her door after watching this for the first time. So I can see
why. Wait, whoa, stop. What?
They like slicked. I forget what they put, but they put like
slick back.
Yeah, you think this is slicked back? No, but they put something like by her door when she woke up and she almost broke her neck coming out of the room to like recreate a Home Alone thing.
Jesus. Yeah. That's a little orange you don't want to hear about.
But like it's one of the best. It literally is in my top 10, 100%. It's my favorite Christmas movie by a landslide. One of my all time favorite movies. Oh, God. I watched this again. We went on vacation with my buddy Anthony, probably like right out of high school. We went to Maine. We went to the video store. Everybody grabbed a movie. They were all new movies. They all sucked. One of them was The New Guy, where the guy breaks his dick and he has to move schools.
I love New Guy.
I got Home Alone and everybody made fun of me. But you know what we all watched and enjoyed? Fucking Home Alone.
Hold on real quick. I love your description of New Guy. You know, the one where the guy breaks his dick.
Right? That's the movie.
It is. It's just like...
That's how I remember it.
I love that movie. The 1-star review from IMDb on this one, Bill, comes from July 10th, 1999. Abe Bichel says, it's called The Beginning of the End for John Hughes. Aside from the preposterous setup, and we're left with a movie that portrays violence without consequence. And what makes it especially irritating is that the violence is played for laughs. How funny is it to see a man hit with a can of paint? Joe Pesci deserves better. First of all, hilarious.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The movie, of course, made a mint of John Hughes and made a huge star out of Culkin. And he says, alas, Home Alone marks the beginning of the decade-long descent for Hughes as he's yet to pull out of it.
I mean, Captain Hindsight, he's writing this in 1999. The movie came out 9 years ago. You can say whatever you want about his career then, but John Hughes is a legend. This is a classic Hughes movie, and people are just negative.
They are. And here's a 10-star review. The title of it, Bill, is Kevin! It says, every 90s child has to watch this. And if you haven't, you had no childhood.
Sure.
Apparently, you were just an adult. So there's a lot to get into with this film. The way, if you're just tuning in, it's your first time hearing a review from us. We do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't know why not 11, but we do the best we can. So we just have like a bunch of things we go over, including obviously our thoughts, the legacy, how it stands the test of time.
You want to just do a quick run through of John Hughes's movies, like The Sweet Spot?
Please.
Okay, so National Lampoon's Vacation, 83. Savage Island, I don't even know what that is, but then 16 Candles, Mr. Mom, The Breakfast Club, European Vacation.
Time out. Mr. Mom, that was him?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe that's TV movie. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Either way, Mr. Mom. Weird Science, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Some Kind of Wonderful, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, She's Having a Baby, The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Home Alone. And he did like Dutch, Curly Sue, Uncle Buck, Beethoven. But like this guy. Hold on.
Home Alone seems like it was actually the exclamation point to the end of an excellent decade. Because I think those are all 80s, right? That was almost all 80s.
Pretty much all 80s. I think his first movie in the 90s looks like it was Home Alone, yeah.
Yeah. So that reviewer, and I get it, just some dude in 1999, but like a descent? Where did this descent start in this guy's eyes? Now, I get Uncle Buck, might not be everyone's cup of tea, but it's still a very excellent 80s
fantastic movie.
It's one of my personal, I'm not going to start hyperbilling and telling me everybody it's in my top 10.
See the size of the toast? I couldn't even get through the door.
That's amazing. That scene, still to this day, I'm trying to recreate that pancake. To this day. You just hit literally out of all those.
Well, after that, it does get bad. It goes to like Dennis the Menace. He throws in Home Alone 2, 101 Dalmatians. Flubber's pretty good. I won't sleep on Flubber.
Flubber stinks, but like bad. These are fun. But you know what he did there? He went from teenagers to children. You could see that switch. So if you said Beethoven, Dennis the Menace, Flubber, those are like PG, like meant for like what we were at that age, like 8, 9, 10-year-old. So there's a definite change in tone. And I don't necessarily think those movies are good, but I also don't think he was going for the same style. No, yeah,
he was making kids movies.
Yeah. And like, also like, don't we have to sometimes like, I get very critical of musical artists, like when they progress or change, but like, do you think John Hughes just wants to sit there and do the same thing every time? Do you think?
I think he went for easier movies though, because it's clear like Drillbit Taylor.
Oh, Drillbit Taylor. Is that, no, I'm thinking of Major Pain. Drillbit Taylor's with Sean William Scott and, Bad Santa guy, right?
Yeah.
There's us again with our great names. But yeah, I don't know. I think like you see progress there, and whether good or bad, like it's not, he just doesn't do the same thing. It's not a one trick pony necessarily, but hey, I'll take it for what it's worth. Yeah. The 90s weren't as good as his 80s, but to say that Home Alone was the end of a descent or like the, like,
I would agree. It's the start of a slide, but he had Home Alone 2 in there and Uncle Buck. Yeah.
I think he just crushed. Like, it is really hard for me to overly criticize this man. His movies are at least all famous. It's not like he has like movies you didn't name a bunch of. We're like, what's that?
John Hughes is going to get like, you know, at least a studio is going to reach out to him to do a big movie. So
yeah, R.I.P. By the way, I think he's dead. At least we'll check that. We'll check that in post. All right, Bill. Current, is he dead? Right, he's dead.
We'll see.
Please tell me he's dead. I don't want him to be dead, but I'm pretty sure he's dead.
He died in 2009.
R.I.P. Curtain jerker, Bill. Did you like Home Alone?
I loved it. Like I said, I mean, it's one of my favorite movies, legit. You know, I think I had it. I think it came in second or third in our rankings last year for the holiday movies.
Yep.
And what's not to like?
I love it. I like this movie a lot. Like, this movie's very rewatchable, super fun. It is. I do understand where people come from with like the violence, like looking back, I get it, but this is like Saturday morning cartoons movie. Like, the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, like all that kind of stuff, like Elmer Fudd and you know, I was going to say Roger Rabbit. No, that's a film. But no, in Bugs Bunny, like you saw that stuff in cartoon form. This brought a little bit more to reality.
Yes, and it wasn't Home Alone 2. They die on every single one of them. Some of them they'd be able to like get right up from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the like also like some of the iconic ones, and we'll get into some of this, is like the cars, the Matchbox cars. Like who hasn't, no, I know you don't go flying like that, but when you step or slip on something like that.
Oh, like, if you're running, you're gonna fly like that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if there's whatever, like 100 of them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But that like those things like are real. Like that happens. The ornaments one, still one of the worst. The nail, oh
but like I love the nail.
Oh God, it's still to this day cringe. Like I have to close my eyes and you know kind of squint through. But this movie's really strong. Like this is a, like you said, I think this is one of the most must watch for Christmas viewing. Like when I watched this last night again, like pure joy, smiling ear to ear the whole time, laughing. Like this movie's been out for 31 years and I still laugh like the first time I saw it.
And it's funny at all points of the movie. And it's very subtle humor at times, but it's always freaking hilarious. I mean, yeah. If Uncle Frank says no, it must be really bad. Like, and then you meet Uncle Frank and you're like, yep.
This guy stinks. I will say the criticism I do have, like right out the gate, is that they are so mean to this poor kid. This kid gets abused basically verbally and physically.
He's kind of like my nephew Tony, because Tony's a little bit of a Kevin McAllister, where he's always on you. About something, he's always like up in your biz, it is a relatable character in a family.
I just have. I agree, but they're like so unnecessarily rude to this kid. I felt like I don't think he was being like the way the movie starts. He's just kind of like a kid who's just like looking for things and like wants his pizza or is asking certain questions. Yeah, he might be a little annoying, but he's not like rude. They literally treat this kid like he's a piece of garbage.
Yeah. No, it's a rich family, and I think Goo has the theory that Kevin McAllister's dad is the worst person in, like, film history, and he does suck.
Well, yeah, I don't think I could disagree. I also like there's also theories this film, like, that people have made that, like, that Kevin McAllister character becomes Jigsaw from the Saw series, because obviously all the creative traps and stuff, and then what that becomes, which I love that theory. Bill, casting in this film, what did you think about it?
Oh, spot on. It was perfect. I mean, everyone to Buzz, to the sisters, to the Ron Weasley looking other brother. I mean, it was just hit out of the park. Catherine O'Hare, I don't think you could have found a better mom. The Kevin Yell alone does it for me. And then you couldn't have, I mean, we thought this was Daniel Stern's coming out party. I mean, he got like a ton of movies after this, like Bushwhacked. And I went to go see that in theaters. Fucking terrible. But, and then Joe Pesci, who I think did Goodfellas this year too, right?
He just comes off of Goodfellas, and I still, Goodfellas, I'm very non-Boston. I love, the thing I love, and this was in the movies that made us, that like, they got Joe Pesci, who's just coming off of, I think, a movie where he swore like 176 times, and he only said, yeah, and then they turned it in that, to this day, that still gets me. Like, when he does, like, that is hilarious. And he's, don't quote me on this, I'm pretty sure this is his first, like, comedy. Like true comedy. Like he was comedic in films, but I don't think that he was ever in like a true comedy.
He was the comic relief in serious films.
Yeah. And his character was funny in movies, but he was in dramas and like in like, I guess, yeah, drama is the best way to put it, or like action-ish dramas.
I was in Lethal Weapon 2. That's kind of.
Oh, okay. That was before this?
Mm-hmm. 89.
Okay. So we're in that same ballpark, but still him just. His character, all that, just amazing. You mentioned Daniel Stern. I also, like, I cannot not mention John Candy, who did this as a freaking favor, which is awesome. Candy was, like, legit comedy gold at this time. And they gave him to play such a small role. But then when you find out almost all of his role after the scene in the airport was ad-libbed, is amazing. The guy is
Tamagotchi poker.
He's outstanding. Also love that scene, Bill. Another little nugget that you know in this film, that from the interwebs, people thought Elvis was in this film.
Really?
So if you watch,
I had no idea.
Yeah, if you watch a scene in the airport, there's a gentleman in the back that has a beard, like he's kind of out of focus behind Catherine O'Hare, and they think that's Elvis.
No.
Just not my theory.
Die on the toilet.
Check it. I haven't seen the casket. Bill, speak and spell. Acting and writing in the film, Home Alone.
So both the best you can have and the worst you can have. Like, the plot is preposterous. And some of the lines are terrible. Like, the "we slept in unison," one of the worst written lines, but it's hilarious. And then they follow it up in two with "we did it again," which is way better. And then, like, when he's running out of the store, "shoplifter!" You wouldn't say that. You'd say "thief." Well, like, you
it's well, you such, just such a... No, Bill, there's another line when they it's "we slept in" is what they yell. That's not what you say when you overslept or yeah, like yeah. Like "we slept in." No, "we slept in" is like a pleasure on the weekend.
Yeah.
I always found that funny. And then watching it last night with my wife, even she said it. She's like, "that is not what I would scream waking up." And how does nobody, and this is the one thing about the writing of this film, this is where it gets really hard. You have to suspend your disbelief and all that. How does nobody wake up? Like, nobody. What did they all take? Freaking like melatonin, or do they get drugged up? Like, what was in
probably the combo of pizza and whole milk?
Milk and Pepsi. yeah, I just
but like the acting too. The acting, I mean, Macaulay Culkin's probably the best kid actor. He was phenomenal.
I was thinking about that. I'm really like, I know Haley Joel Osment was amazing in The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
But like, he wasn't the star. The
comedy's way harder for everything. Writing, acting, perform—it way harder.
As you see in movies that are in like Barstool's top 10 Christmas movies, like Home Alone 3 per se, that kid kind of stinks. Like, he's not bad, but he's not like Macaulay Culkin is probably one of the most endearing, likable, you want to root for child characters ever.
Yeah, and he breaks the fourth wall in this movie so brilliantly and casually. Like when he runs up the stairs and runs right into the camera and screams and runs away. But then when he screams in the face of the South Bend Shovel Slayer for the first time, and that's the other thing about the writing, you got Buzz like narrating that thing through the window to set that up. Like, everything in this movie, as preposterous it is set up pretty nicely. Like, you get Joe Pesci coming in. I know you have to suspend your disbelief. Like, they wouldn't leave the kid. It wouldn't take her that long. It wouldn't, somebody would be able to get to the house in the area. But that aside, like, the writing from like beat to beat, like, "I'm living alone. I'm living alone." Or like, "congratulations, you're an idiot." That's my favorite line from the sister. What do you want me to say to him? "Congratulations, you're an idiot." And like, "look what you did, you little jerk," from Uncle Frank. What a dick. Like, oh, and like, if I was the dad at that point, I'd be like, "hey, it's my son. I'll discipline him."
Yeah, like, there's nobody who gives two rats you know what about this poor kid. And there's so much like vulgarity in the beginning. And also when the mother's like, or he's like, "I hate you," or something like that. He says something really rude to her in the beginning too. But
yeah, you know, he's like, "I wish I wake up tomorrow and you were all gone." I will say the father
sounds like a bitch or something.
Yeah. There's no swearing in this movie, right?
No, I think there might be a few. There's just no big ones. But going back to your point, though, yeah, the father, it's almost like he doesn't care. He's never like, when they're on the airplane and they finally find out she seems Kevin, then the scene's next one is like, first of all, that first class is so spacious where like the aunt's like sitting on the armrest.
I've never been on a plane. Have you been on a plane like that? Like a Continental one that has the real first class and an actual coach?
Yes.
Really?
One time when I went to Bonnaroo, I had first class tickets. This is the greatest experience ever. And you get on first, you got time, you sit there, big seats. It's only like five rows. And then it was, I guess, economy or coach. Like that was in 2008. I don't even think, I can't even think of, I think international flights are like long distance flight. I know JetBlue has like a mint version. Mm. There's a couple of planes, but even those, like there's no partition in between. Like I had a partition. It was cool. Like I felt really special for like half a second. Too bad the flight was an hour and a half, but anywho, it's like you're barely in the air. The father does. He like never seems to be overly concerned.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm going to leave the airport. You know, there's no more we can do here." He's pretty calm on the plane. Like her reaction when she screams Kevin, which I've used in a couple of videos because our friend's name, I'm sure everybody has a friend named Kevin. But Peter. The scream of Kevin that she has is just fantastic. And then Uncle Frank, "well, if it makes you feel any better, I forgot my reading glasses."
The guy is a classic.
He's stealing crystal on the plane.
He's like, "put these in your purse. Put these in your purse.
I got traveler's checks. I just got traveler's checks."
That's unreal. Don't worry. We got cash. Bill, hit my music. How did they use music in this film?
I've probably right up there with Tommy Boy. I mean, all of the Christmas songs they picked were perfect. I mean, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, that scene of him dancing, and then the score. It's one of like it's probably the best score for a comedy movie. Like, what's better?
I'd have to really think about that. But this movie, it starts off with it. It just sets a really great tone. It's ominous. It's a little spooky. Little spooky, Bill. But has the jingles. Yeah, has the bells in there, too, that makes it Christmas. So it is great. Some stations, like I've been listening to all these different stations on my Alexa, which, by the way, good plug. If you do have an Alexa, you can say, hey, Alexa, listen to Pop Culture Pile Driver, and it will play the most recent episode.
You have to say the podcast.
I didn't.
Oh, really? Because it played like some dumbass country song when I said that.
Honestly, I want people to listen to that then. The two people that might do this, I want them to listen to that country song.
But yeah, John Williams crushed for this soundtrack. I mean, and all the other little scores that they put in, like the when they kind of do the, it's like the carol of the bells when he's like setting up the house.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really does drive the movie at certain points because he's just, you know, it's like a very slow-paced montage of him setting up the house.
I think this might be the best use of music of all the movies we've ever reviewed. This might be the best from score to actual songs to everything. Like, everything fits. The, you know, Baby Please Go Home. Like, oh, there's so many. Like, and that's also what makes it Christmas. Like, it's Christmas music. So it also sets the atmospheric tone as well.
No, 100% because I think Tommy Boy had the best use of real music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one day we'll probably review Guardians, and I think that's the best ever. But for right now, score and real music, this is probably the best. I don't know if we've done it better, but like, we haven't done Jaws. We haven't done, any real horror film that has a good score. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
Just front to back. I think this might be, of all the scoring I did, this is like the 10 out of, or 11 out of 11. Act it out, Bill. You want to go first or want me to go first?
I'll go first, and it's a simple one, and it's probably my most quoted line ever. It's just, I'll give it a whirl. When she's talking about the new dinners, I'll give it a whirl. Wait, I got a coupon for that. Like, I say I'll give it a whirl so much, and no one ever, it's kind of common, but like, I don't know. I wish somebody would pick up on it every once in a while.
It's funny that out of all this film, like that one doesn't jump out at me, but when you say it, like I see it. It's one of those things, like it's a little bit of a earworm of it there.
Ma'am, I'm 8 years old.
this is the best part. So this is the line I have, is that scene is, I still think this movie has so much, but when the Czech lady is like, are you here by yourself? Ma'am, I'm 8 years old. You think I would be here alone? I don't think so. Where's your mom? My mom? My mom's in the car. Where's your father? He's at work. What about your brothers and sisters? I'm an only child. Where do you live? Can't tell you that. Why not? Because you're a stranger.
His delivery of that line is so
crushes it. That is amazing. There's writing at its perfection. Because first of all, if you watch the film for the first time, I thought the woman knew who he was when he says, where's your brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
But then the way it happens, then where do you live? I can't tell you that. Why not? Because you're a stranger. Amazing. And then just the whole plot of the film and how that kind of is almost like Easter egg-ish in a way.
And like the freaking, when he's carrying the groceries home. Like, there's so many good sight gags in this movie too. Like, John Hughes really worked in everything into this movie from a comedy perspective. And I love when he's walking home with a toothbrush. He goes, I'm a criminal.
The thing with the bags though, it's two of my most furious scenes. Because what happens?
The bags I mean, he probably takes what he can carry.
Yeah, he's not even close to home allegedly, or he's on the street. But still, like, imagine if your bag ripped even like three houses down. That's a lot of back and forth work.
Oh, it's awful.
That's most infuriating to me. And then the other one, everyone, and it became like reconned in the commercials a couple years ago, was when he doesn't eat the one bite of his mac and cheese.
Oh, unreal. That's infuriating.
It hurts. It's like not just one bite, dude. You have to fuel up. Kid, you're about to go in. You're about to defend your house. Don't get scared now. Legacy. This is probably, this is going to be the hardest one, I think, for us, because I'm still racking my brain. I'll pull out what I think here. But, Bill, what is the most memorable thing from Home Alone?
I mean, I don't think you can pin it down to just one thing. I think it is the end. I think it's the House of Horrors just from start to finish. Like, it's probably the paint can. would be like if you pick just one, but it has to be them going through the house getting all torn up.
Yeah, it's so, you're right. It's so hard because I was trying to think, like, is it the Sticky Bandits? Are the Sticky Bandits like the most?
Oh, this is the Wet Bandits.
Sticky Bandits are part two. My bad. That's when they evolved, like Pokemon. I don't really know much about Pokemon, but that was the first thing I was thinking. I'm like, is it the Wet Bandits? Is it the fact that a family left their child? Like, I know it sounds cliche, but like, is that the most memorable part? Is it the performance of Macaulay Culkin? Is it some of these one-off scenes we're talking about? Yeah, or is it like the whole scene of like these two goofball criminals trying to, for some reason, like go after a child? Like, I don't understand why they want to like get them. It's just kind of bizarre. Like, go in, steal what you need to steal, get out. But like,
yeah, I think it, like, that's another part that's a little bit like, all right, why are they going so hard after a child? I mean, once they start getting torn up, but like they're ready to like, are they ready to kill him right when they come into the house? We know you're in there and we know you're all alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're acting up until that point. You know, they're, you know, being idiots in the house and using the kaleidoscopes and, you know, yeah. Marv's being, yeah, well, you're one of the world's greatest cat burglars, Marv. He's just making a shit ton of noise. But once they get into the house, they're acting as like, invalids, and like the scream with the nail, the scream when he gets the tarantula right on him, and when he fucking whacks him in the chest with the crowbar. Don't move.
Yeah, Marv, you look like a chicken.
Oh no, that's the best part. Why the hell did you take your shoes off? Why the hell are you dressed like a chicken?
So all that, there's so much to it. I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with, like, I know it, but like when I really think of Home Alone, I just think of like Christmas movie. Like, maybe that's where, like, I just, everything kind of funnels into it. The movie's excellent. Like, it's really hard to critique anything here.
I mean, when we did the list of 25 Christmas movies,
yes,
once I got to about like 7, it was like, all right, I gotta go check the internet. Like, I have the few that I like, and this is probably, this and Elf is probably the first ones that come to mind. And if you're a little bit older like me, Christmas Vacation was probably my 2. Yeah. So, I mean, this is right up there with all of those, though.
Agreed. There's so much. This movie is packed. Bill, Then Now Forever, has this movie, Home Alone, stood the test of time?
Yes, and I think it always will, because people are like, well, you could probably solve this in one phone call now. Yeah, yeah, you can, but there's movies made about times before, you know, like, and like that I watched when I was a kid that wouldn't apply. Like, you just tell the kid you're watching, like, oh yeah, they didn't have cell phones back there. And like, oh yeah, well, that makes sense. All good. Like, they would have been halfway to the airport and, you know, he would have called them, or any, you know, they could have called somebody else and like have them go to the house that lives down the street or whatever. Like, eventually they would have gotten contact with somebody, but like, throw that all aside. Like, you can watch this movie in July. You can watch this movie, you know, right now, obviously. It, to me, is just one of the all time feel good movies ever made.
Yeah, this is without a doubt stands the test of time. You can watch this in 2021 for the first time, for the 1,000th time, whatever it is, like, in whatever year you potentially are seeing this. Like, this movie, it's going to be hard for me to say it's not going to stand the test of time unless one of these actors gets canceled and something happens crazy. But still, it's the movie itself. Take that all aside. Is like, it's amazing. It is just front to back hilarious. I think it's like an hour and 37 minutes too, so it's not long, but there's so much that happens in it. It almost feels like when you think of the movie, it's got to be 2 hours, but it's not.
90 minutes out the door.
Pull apart. Well, actually, this will be part of our pull apart, Bill. If you can either answer this in one of two ways. Do you think the best, the traps? What are the best traps, or what are the traps you feel like, oh, like that would be it? You would tap out. I'm done. I'm not going for any further in this.
I think the nail immediately. I'm done. Like, all right, I got a nail through my foot, and then I just fell backwards high up the stairs on the cement. That one, I'm probably done. The blowtorch to the head, dude. That is, I would be furious.
For me, the two that, like, obviously the one issue with the nail is, now, obviously, Marv's supposed to be a complete moron.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, your shoe gets caught on tar and falls off. Your sock. You're never looking down. You're never looking down. Just be like, what's going on? What am I stepping in? That one gets me. But, obviously, this relates into it. The glass ornaments.
Oh,
Christmas. Because at least a nail, I'll call me whatever you want. It's a one-time stab. You're hurt. You move on. The glass, that's staying in there. And you're staying
around like this.
Yeah, he's like dancing on them. Blowtorch is a good one. The other one for me, and I don't know why, it just gets me every time, because I just think of any time you've ever burnt your finger, you get those blisters, the doorknob. Because the blowtorch is ridiculous, but like you could, it could happen maybe eventually you back out, but you know that sensation. When you burn your hand, it almost takes a second. Oh, it's like, oh God, this hurts. Then you pull away and it's too late. Your hand's calloused. You're all screwed up for a few days, throbbing pain. And that one, those two always stand out as like, oh, that seems so brutal. Obviously, pain cancer the face, but like, I don't know the reality of that.
It would probably kill you, especially falling flat back like that. You would at least be in the hospital from that. That is like the ridiculous ones that I can see why people are like, yeah, you know, that probably isn't good for kids to see that. They, you know, you could be okay. But either way, I mean, it's fantastic. My other thing that I love that to me is the most preposterous thing is when he hang glides from his house to the treehouse.
And the stunt double. The stunt double is gigantic. That's another thing that he said in movies that made us. Like, it's so funny. Like, this dude's like 6 feet tall.
And he goes, I'm going to call the cops. He's going to call the cops from a treehouse. Like, that's one of my favorite reactions in the whole movie, too.
Well, I wouldn't put it past that family to have a phone in the treehouse.
Yeah, it's true.
And then obviously the nice redemption of old man Marley is also like, I don't know why he was looked at as such a heel and like a bad guy. Obviously the stories and all that, the great scene at the church. And then obviously the end when he comes and kind of saves the day. Another one, just a shovel to the face. No thanks. Wasn't part of the pranks, but that was just old man Marley's just way of like, you're done. And yeah, this movie is, you know, the only other thing I would say, like we talked about a little bit, like the one-liners are amazing. The situations that he's put in being alone, like going shopping or, you know, even like decorating the entire house, knocking over all of Buzz's stuff. A subtle thing too. He also has a BB gun.
Yeah.
Not enough made of that BB gun. It's a great shot.
Yeah. I love the, it looked like they shaved the numbers off the starting lineup guys. Cause one was definitely Larry Bird and one was definitely Bo Jackson.
Without a doubt. Nailed both of them. Yeah. The Larry Bird one was clearly either, like they rub, like they did, like, because if you have, like, I have one here, you can see this is a Mike Greenwell.
Yeah, I had that one.
So you can, and it's a little bit of glare, but you can barely see the Boston still there, and you can barely see the
Greenwell
39 and Greenwell because this is just age. But this was at a time, 1990, this might have been an old figure at that time. This is the old 80s Red Sox uniforms.
I thought one of them might have been Roberto Alomar, but maybe I can Google it.
Was he with the
Literally, he was with the Blue Jays.
I was going to say had to be because he won that World Series. But either way, and then the other one's a spatula, plastic spatula. But yeah, that just those scenes, like I just, there's so much from this film. Let's see, we'll get your Roberto Alomar and then we'll rate this pup.
Well, here are the four starting lineup figures.
Oh,
Kevin Schutz.
Who does it say?
Let's see. You can't just like tell me Mark Bavaro.
That would
Mark Bavaro, Babe
Ruth. Oh, yeah, there is a 49.
Anderson and Larry Bird.
Wait, give it to us one more time.
Fuck, I just lost it. Babe Ruth, Mark Bavaro, Neil Anderson, and Larry Bird.
Neil Anderson? Who's Neil Anderson?
I don't know.
Okay. What website is this? Reliable?
It is The Big Lead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I used to do a lot of stuff with them. They're like they used to like aggregate stuff.
I assume that guy must be it looks like it's a Chicago Bear, maybe.
Is he a golfer? Bill, before we get to our rating, I must plug the Change My Mind podcast of Home Alone versus Home Alone 2. To this day, my favorite episode those guys have done.
Really? I haven't gotten to it yet.
It's only from last year. Don't worry, you got time. It is
I thought they just did Home Alone again.
Yeah, that's home. It's home to be Home Alone.
All
right. Their version, because they do like the sequel versus that's their best pods, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And that one specifically is so good. So good. I think it's them at their finest. That's all I'll say. I don't know what episode it is. I apologize for not looking back, but go check out Change My Mind. Look at December of last year, and it is top notch pod. You fight for both sides. They basically battle the two. With that being said, we're not battling the two, but we're rating Home Alone on a scale of 1 to 11. Bill, what do you give Home Alone?
11. I'm an easy grader. I love this movie. I can't find much wrong with it.
You know I don't like giving perfect scores.
Mm-hmm.
It pains me. I had a 10.5 written down. But why? What am I, like, holding somebody back from the Hall of Fame? Like, first
round? Yeah, you're one of the BBWA
writers. Yeah, I'm like the big – I'm like – I still regret Tommy Boy a little bit because I think there's more flaws. I don't see the flaws in this film. Like, I understand the criticism, but I don't see the actual, like, this isn't a good movie or, like, this is fun. And maybe it's our age, whatever it is. This is one of the best films I think made. I think it's an iconic. I think there's so much to it. The fact that we can go on and on about this. And, like, we don't review a movie like, you know, typical reviews. Like, we don't go into every detail and, like, all the nuance. We give you our take and the feel. Like, you've seen this movie. But this movie is absolutely smokes it. 11 out of 11. Another perfect score from the Pop Culture Pile Driver for Home Alone. Any other things you want to mention about this film, Bill?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, the same with a lot of comedies. And the great ones do this really well. You can section off, you know, just slabs of this movie and they work by themselves in like their own like little like, oh, let me just pop up this scene from Home Alone. Like the pizza delivery scene where leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here, which became like a thing during COVID because that's what you did with all your food orders, basically. Sure. You change your filthy animal. Like it just so many iconic things, Tim making the sundaes and even like the carry into the next one.
Just muted yourself because you got so excited. But no, I agree with you. And that's it. Like we didn't even mention the whole like made up film within the film.
Oh yeah. What is it, Angels with Wings or something?
Yeah, something like that. I always call it Angels and Airwaves. The fact that like all those lines in there too, you were kissing in the corner, was like Pookie or whatever it is.
No,
like,
that's two. You were smooching with everybody. This yeah, one is Aces.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Aces ain't in charge no more.
Yeah, snakes. Yeah, he says, leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here. All right, Johnny, but what about my money?
I'm sorry, I'm gulping.
Aces said 10%. The movie's just great. Like, that's just a subplot of the whole thing. You just said it. Keep the change of filthy animal. That is a very iconic line. The aftershave scream is maybe one of the more iconic scenes in film from this era. There's just so much. It is packed. It is well done. And again, kudos to Cully freaking McCulkin, who nailed this thing. No scenes wasted. No BS. No like whatever got cut from this film. Just it's great because they put together such a great freaking movie.
Oh, we didn't even mention it's a quick small thing, but like the little kid from next door. Does this get good gas miles? Is it cold there? And then I think this is probably one of the most quoted by like dads is the bring me back something French.
Oh yeah, yes.
Bring me back something French. That's a great line.
Yeah, the great point by the neighbor. Like, that's the whole plot of this film, like, because the sister counts. By the way, I did want to recap to say how many kids. Six children. I'm sorry.
They have six kids?
Sorry, five children. Five children. So there's Buzz, Megan. I think Megan's the one who counts. Kind of a fox. Lainey, Jeff, and then Kevin. I think Jeff is your...
Ron Weasley?
Yes. And then Frank, I didn't realize how many kids they had. They also have five kids. Tracy, Rods, Sandra, Brooke, and Fuller. We know Fuller as his brother. Yeah, so I didn't know that. And they also look much older, Frank and Leslie. And they have five kids. Five kids. What a family. Look at these two. And I don't know who's related. I still forget. Is it the mother's brother? Frank is the mother's brother? No, they're all McAllister, so it has to be Peter. And
yeah, I think that they're brothers, and obviously. And like this has been a thing on memes for a while, but like, what the hell does his dad do?
Well, then that's funny because I know you've never seen The Sopranos, but you find like years later when The Sopranos came out, he's a in between police mobster guy. So maybe that is what he did. He just laundered money. Either way, dude had a massive house and a lot of stuff. And also the other funny thing about this film, obviously the house that we talked about with Airbnb, actual home that has some of the settings here. But when they did all the pranks, tricks, and all that stuff, they used a gymnasium from like an old high school to make all the traps and stuff, which I think Yeah, if you watch that Movies That Made Us, it's amazing what they did to use the whole like downstairs. It's basically an old, like if you were to empty a pool. You can check it out on Movies That Made Us. Obviously, watch Home Alone. Enjoy your goddamn life. But 11 out of 11 from the Pop Culture Pile Driver on Home Alone from 1990. Oh, yeah, hold it out on my mind. What you going to get out of that mind?
Nothing really.
I got no.
No, like I got, I don't have a whole hell of a lot this week. It's been a busy work week. So,
boner.
I had to, speed watch this over the last night and this morning, but I already knew it like the back of my hand. So, I don't know. I was going to go to the movies the other day and see Dune, but wasn't motivated enough.
Yeah. I can feel that. I can feel that just by the way you said the name of the movie. I was motivated to go see the movies, Dune.
Yeah.
You can come over here, Bill. We can watch it on HBO Max. I think it's on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to catch up on these Marvel films. But by the way, speaking about Marvel, watch the first Hawkeye. I'm back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? That's something that I've been watching. And I think I talked about it last week, maybe.
I think you did. I think you mentioned it. But
episode 3, absolutely loved. And actually, I'll be able to watch episode 4 right now.
There you go. We just watched the first one, me and my wife, before the weekend. And she's in. When she's in on something, that's good. She hasn't been in since WandaVision. So this is good. I don't know what it is. I think it's like the simplistic and like not over the top storylines. Like Loki, I can understand. From her perspective, aside from Hiddleston being amazing, like that's a weird-ish show. And like there's a lot going. It's fan service, I feel, which is right on the
line.
We didn't get in on Winter Soldier and that one, like it was action. It felt like a good action movie. I almost wish it was a movie instead.
I think a lot of people do. Yeah, I think it would.
Like Black Widow, I would have traded. I would have had a Black Widow show with the weird way they did their stuff and put that Winter Soldier into a movie, Falcon Winter Soldier. But yeah, then we're back in Hawkeye. Amazing start. Also kicked off the holiday season as well because that's all about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it carries through, but the first
one was. To me, I think everybody has Loki as their favorite. WandaVision was my absolute favorite. I think it's one of my favorite shows in a while just because it was more than a Marvel show. It was kind of an allegory for grief. And I always kind of like, that next layer of storytelling because in Marvel, you don't really get that a ton. So that's why I really enjoyed that. Plus, it was an homage to TV and it was very spoofy. So it was basically speaking to me, but
it was a mystery too. Like each episode, you didn't know what was going on, but you knew that they weren't, it's not like a company or a storyline that you didn't trust that they were going to do something and they kind of buttoned it all together. The ending was okay, but I still find the whole why we saw what we saw, how we saw what we saw was rather amazing. And I think we're going to probably see a lot more of that coming back soon. Cause you have to think now that they're really ripping into the Phase 4 and with Multiverse of Madness coming, Wanda's going to play a major role in that. So, I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm excited for Spider-Man.
I am fucking boned up.
I got the little bit of the goosebumps brewing. I think this is going to be, even if the movie, it doesn't have to be anything more than it is. I just think the Spider-Man movies are really good here. And knowing that they're going to do some complete fan service stuff where they're going to have all the Spider-Men, you know, we're going to get some of the iconic meme stuff that they always seem to do, like the pointing, they're going to do that. Nice plug also for Mac and Goo. They did a 21 questions, which I think I want to steal or borrow. We'll call it like 20 questions, 11 questions.
11 questions times two.
That pod was excellent. Really got me hyped up. So if you're looking for some hype to go into Spider-Man, I know they could probably do a preview, but their 21 questions going in is really good.
And tonight, I think they're doing Mac and Goo trivia at Isle of Hands, not to date the podcast, but go check that out as well. And
they release audio for like a few days too, so I'm sure that'll be out on their podcast channel as well.
Yeah, but I think we should, we don't usually review current movies, but I'd review that, the hell out of that. I think it's going to be amazing. And, the Tobey Maguire ones I really liked, and then Tom Holland knocked it out of the park as the character.
Yep.
So, and then the other thing too is the Spider-Verse trailer came out, and Spider-Verse again, it's probably my favorite comic book movie in general, and that thing looked fucking sick.
It looked
it's so good.
And it's good that they called it part one. I know it sounds foolish, but I like it, and also the growth that Miles Morales is in college.
How do you like it? I thought you hated it because that means that there's no stakes.
No, there isn't going to be any stakes, but this is different. Cartoons are different. Cartoons, I don't look at.
Jesus.
Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so this week in the Dork Shared Gooniverse, we had, let me get to it here. We had Dork Best Christmas Gifts. I listened to this one, and I think I had a similar one to Keith. Mine was a PlayStation 2 that I used, you probably are going to look down at me on this, but I went through and opened the like my wrapped gifts when I was little.
Wait, what? You cheated?
Oh yeah.
Big time. Oh, Bill.
But from this one, probably, I forget when it came out, but I was like middle school, high school age. And I remember my mom gave it to my uncle to give it to me so I wouldn't be able to like see it in the closet. So I was legitimately shocked. That was my best Christmas gift. Do you have one?
I tweeted at them. I don't know what, I didn't listen to it yet. You know what's really quickly? Last year, I actually said we should do this idea and we didn't go with it because we're like, it's probably stupid. Stupid enough for them. No, I'm not blaming you or me. It was just we got better. God damn it. There it is again. I apologize for all. I got to mute that. So anyways, point being here is that mine was Nintendo 64. I remember it.
They mentioned it.
Okay. 2 years specifically stand out to me. When I got Nintendo 64, because I was blown up for it. I was so excited. I needed it because that was at the height of my video game. I was about 11 years old. Playing video games all the time. And like, this was that next step. And like all the 3D, like I was crazy for that. And then there was another year I remember. And I think it was kind of free form, right? Like there was no rules to it, but like I got one year where I just got a ton of like wrestlers when I was a kid. Like I was probably around that same, probably 95, 96, 97. Probably. I don't know when I stopped playing with like figures. I'm guessing around that, like 12 was probably the end. But like, dude, there was this one year when like, Santa got it all. Santa didn't have to come early because he knocked out like my entire list. Because my parents used to be very specific, and Santa was very specific. Said Chris, by Thanksgiving night we want your list.
Right, you gotta get there early so you can go out on Black Friday and shop. My other best one was custom made because they didn't have them. And I think like the next year he actually got his own jersey, but. I had my mom order a Dana Barros number 11 Celtics jersey for me, and I was pumped.
Oh, that's another one. I got tickets front row, the only time I ever sat front row. Celtics Spurs in like
93.
No, like 2000 maybe. 2001. The Spurs were good, but Celtics weren't. But like that was like, I remember that being, and that was a secret gift. That was like, all right. Like I was 15, 16 years old. And then like, I think there's one other thing on the tree. And I'm like, oh, there is. I'm thinking it's money or something. When you see an envelope. Mm-hmm. Boy, that was a good one.
Yeah. I love, I always love getting game tickets. Cause it's not something I usually do too much. I don't love attending events unless it's a concert I really like, but I'll take a nice game ticket here or there. Matt Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens.
I got to check it.
And the aforementioned 21 Questions, I believe. Yep. CMM did Marvel Rumors?
Yeah, they did like a whole podcast with one of the guys from
Worldwide. Oh, Home Alone was the last week.
Fun fact, that guy's audio, he was driving in a car, and his audio was almost better than both of theirs.
Oh, Wes's sounded like crap. I listened to the beginning. I didn't get into the actual I listened to like them, whatever they do to start.
Banter. Yeah. But like, I'm telling you, dude, when I was listening, I was like, how does this guy sound so good? He's driving in a car and clearly his phone's mounted. And you know, I don't know. And not that I'm saying my audio already is great. I'm just saying that it's just like, that one shocked me. I don't know what was going on there.
Hey, sometimes, I mean, Fryer basically operates with freaking tin can and string. TLDR talked books. Heard it both ways. Is doing one of my favorite episodes of all time, and that's a little hyperbole, but I might put it in the DSG and say, hey, if you want to check out a psych episode for the dip your toe in the water, this will be a good one with me and Joe. If you want to watch it first, then listen. Then Hot Guys on Hawkeye, and then streaming is Shime Time, Arvon D, and Dr. Joe.
What's the name of the episode?
It is Earth, Wind, and Wait For It. Earth, Wind, and Wait For It.
And this is season 4?
This is season 3, episode 11, I believe.
Okay. All right. Get out the cock and fire it up, baby. Mm-hmm. Are they also on Hulu, too?
They're on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, which, by the way, had a huge outage yesterday. Amazon had a major outage. You couldn't park. You could park in free in most major cities that have the application to pay by phone. And you couldn't listen to your A-word. A-word couldn't pull up any apps yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was being a bitch.
Yeah, it was a major outage in Amazon, so people are a little worried what's going on, but I think everything's back up and running, and all your information has already been stolen. That'll do it for this episode of the Pop Culture Piledriver. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell a friend. Be a friend. Subscribe, wherever you listen. If you're in India, thank you, the two of you, or the one person that listens twice on Ghana. You can listen to us on all major podcasting platforms. That's not as easy as I thought it would be. You can follow him at BillyYee2411 on Twitter, at BillyD2411 across all others. I am at Jason D. Rossi. We are at Pop Culture PD on Twitter. Be a friend. Hit the follow button. And we appreciate you guys. Hopefully this is a good kickoff to your holiday season. We'll be back next week for more tips, tricks, and wild things because it's Big Bad Billy's B-Day Bash. We'll be debuting a new segment on that show as well. Will we? I don't know. I just feel like saying things to fill time, which I always hate because I want to get out of here. He is at Billy D again at 20 Yee because we need to get those follows up because the guy's great. Bill, any final words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.